Good evening. Good to see everybody here this evening. No better place to be than here worshiping our Lord and Savior. I want to thank Jeremy for taking the class this morning, Randy for preaching a sermon to us this morning. That was very well received. We appreciate their effort very much. And this evening, you got me. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but we'll try to do the best we can. Yeah, I just want to spend a little bit of time talking to you about a subject that we've talked about before. And that's it. How many of you, probably everybody, have seen the movie Back to the Future? You know, I think that at some point in time, all of us have wondered what would happen if we could look into the future. You know, some people probably would think, well, I could see who won the ball game and I could bet on the ball game and all that kind of stuff, but that's not really what we want to talk about. Even though in the movie they went in the past and came back to the future. But I wonder sometime what we would actually see if we could look into the future. If we could make any real observation about what we could see and how things turned out. And I don't think that we would have to go like a long way in the future, maybe 10, 20 years. And I think that if we did that, we would probably find things that we didn't like. There's things that we don't like right now. But if you have a vehicle going downhill, no brakes, no way to stop it, and there's a gully at the end, that vehicle is going to make it in that gully. And I think that's the way the world is going, downhill and fast. But you know, who do we have to blame for that? We have ourselves. And when I say we, in tonight's lesson, I'm talking about the Christian population. I'm not talking about any particular individual. I think we all have a part to play in what happens. How we look at things, how we observe things, and what we do. You see, the last, I don't know, 50 years or so, we've allowed the non-believing people to make all the decisions. We've allowed that to happen by not standing up. If you don't stand up for something, it's not going to work out like you think it ought to be. Really, when you talk about the future, the only way the future can be changed is from the present. You can't change the future from the future or the past. The future has to be changed from the present. And it appears to me like that the younger people are the only ones that can make that change and make the future better. So if we intend to make a difference, we've got to convince the young people they got to make changes. And they have to understand that the changes have to be made because they're the ones going to be there in the future. So I think if you was able to go into the future and look or be there, what you would find is people talking about the past. Like, what happened? Where did we go wrong? How in the world can things be this bad? Wondering what could happen, what did happen, where did we go wrong? Well, our answer is plain and simple. We left God out. And when you leave God out, bad things happen. And the Christian population allowed it to happen. We all got a little bit of blame that we have to take. You see, we took God out of the schools, out of public places, out of government offices, out of our everyday activities over the last 50 years, I guess. Now, this seems alarming to some people, but to most people it doesn't. It doesn't seem to really mean much. So I want to take a look at a few things that we would realize if we could look into the future. Because I think we can realize it now. The people did not obey God's word. See, God said, pray always. Pray without ceasing. Giving thanks, for this is good and acceptable. And if the people would have looked into God's word, they would have known that. They would have understood. And maybe something could have been prevented. But look with me in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. And it reads like this, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Ephesians 6 and 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Philippians 4 and 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known. That's a lot of prayer. 1 Timothy 2 and 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Pray for all men. Pray for our families, our leaders of our country. The key is prayer. Randy brought a good lesson on that this morning. Acts 16 and 13. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And we say if the people, meaning us, we, the people of this country, would have read and obeyed God's word, they would have stood up and fought against banning prayers. But we allow other people to control that situation. We don't fight. And therefore, one person Madeline Murray O'Hare, said, "I don't want any prayers in school, in public places." And we said, "Okay." And like I said earlier, when I say we, I'm talking about the Christian population. And this, like I said, this came from one person. She was able to destroy something that had been around for a long time. There, it, you know, we can make excuses. We can say, "Well, you know, I didn't have anything to do with that," and you might not have. But we have to try. We have to work. We have to do the best we can to keep God everywhere. You know, it used to be we was fortunate because we had people in our government that were God-fearing people. They were able to understand, and they were wanted to keep God in everyday life. But when things begin to change, the voting public allows that to happen. And the reason being sometimes is not what we think. See, some people said that we don't want to read the Bible in public schools and in public places because it might offend somebody. It says, "Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, love thy neighbor as thyself." We don't need to do that. We don't need to have the Bible read in public places because we don't need to offend anybody. So we said, okay. We allow that to take place. See, those people could have read from God's Word, and they would have understand, had a better understanding about a lot of things. But especially bringing up your children. See, God said, "Spare not the rod. Bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And we had people say, "That won't work." Let's look in Proverbs, the 13th chapter, and verse 24. And there'll be a few more verses, and I'll go a little slower so you can take a look. Proverbs 13 and 24. "He that spareth his rod hateth his son." Can you imagine that? Hateth his son. If he doesn't correct him, he hates him. "But he that loveth him chasteneth him at times." That's absolutely amazing. God says that if you don't correct your child, you hate him. Proverbs 19, verse 18. And it reads, "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crime." See, it's not going to be a pleasant thing to correct your child. It never has been and never will be. But for them to have a chance in this world, you have to do that. And you understand that he's going to be sad, he's going to be crying, but you can't let that overcome what you're supposed to do. Proverbs 22 and 15. "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it from him." Proverbs 23 and 13. "Withhold not correction from the child, if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. And don't interpret that to be that you should beat your children, because that's not what that means. We're talking about correction. But it's not going to be an easy thing to do. It's easier for a short time to allow them to do whatever they want to do. But in the long haul, you will regret it. Proverbs 29 and 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And we're talking about God's advice. Who would know better than God? You see, we've all been exposed to situations like that. I was in a grocery store one time. I don't go to a grocery store very often, but I think I went to pick something up for somebody. But there was a lady in there. She had three little small children, 4, 5, 6 years old, and they were just running wild, knocking stuff off the shelf, throwing stuff in the floor, kicking and screaming. And I had to be down that aisle to get whatever I wanted. And she told me, she said, "I just don't understand it. I don't know what I'm going to do." And I gave her some advice. But whether she took it or not, I don't have any idea. But that's how things get. Proverbs 29 and 17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. In Ephesians 6 and 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We ought to look and not do things that would absolutely, unearth a child. But if we use God's advice, I don't think that would happen. You see, what happened with the people was they didn't listen to God. You see, we had a fellow come along by the name of Dr. Benjamin Spock. Some of you young folks might not know who that is. But he said, you better not spank your child. You better not correct your child, or they'll have warped personalities. They won't grow up to be good people. You will ruin them. Like I said, some of the young people might not know who that is, but it wouldn't make any difference if it was Dr. Spock years ago or somebody today claiming to know more than God. You see, what we as the public said, that's okay. I mean, after all, Dr. Spock is a child psychologist. He knows what's best. So we need to adhere to what he says. So we allow discipline to go away. I've heard people say, I just can't bring myself to spank my child because it's going to ruin him. Well, I got news for you. It's not going to ruin. And I believe that God knows more than anybody when it comes to how children should be raised and how you should confront things when they happen. So that was another pass. We just allow things to happen. We won't discipline our children, and we won't let anybody else discipline neither. So we look at another situation. God said, let each man have his own wife. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And we read in Exodus, chapter 20, and verse 14. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Hebrews 13 and 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. See, we're looking to see what God has to say about that. And His Word tells us that He will judge that situation. In Mark 7 and 21, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulterers, fornications, murderers. It says from within the heart of man. Those things will come. Matthew 5 and 27. Ye have heard that it is said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her in his heart already. Now I want to explain that just a little bit. When it says, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, I don't really think that that means that you see a pretty lady and you look at her and you acknowledge that she's nice looking. But what comes after that is to lust after her. You pursue that. And pursue it to the point of no return. God says, you've already committed adultery in your heart because that's what you had desire for. But we, the all-knowing public, we didn't agree with that. You know, we said that, you know, children will be children and things will happen. We can't stop them anyway. So let's just pass out birth control pills to keep anything from happening. And we'll help them that way. And somebody else comes up and says, well, yeah, and if they do happen to get in trouble, get pregnant, whatever the case might be, they can have an abortion. And somebody else says, okay, we allow that to happen, then they don't even have to tell their parents. The doctors are not obligated to that either. You know, you say, children need to have all the fun they can while they're growing up. And that one itself is not a bad thing. So let's make it easy for them. Let's make it easy. And it's okay to have X-rated movies, R-rated movies, sex and violence on the movie screen, on TV, whatever. It's okay. Because it's, after all, children will be children. And they'll grow up okay. See, the public didn't fight that. But it's just one of the other things that I think that if you could be in the future talking about that, somebody is going to say, what happened? I think we know. In one other situation, that God said to practice good and keep yourself unspotted from the world. So look at James, the first chapter, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. John 6:28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he hath sent. Believe on him, meaning his son, Jesus. Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Do good deeds, both for your family, your Christian brothers, and everyone else, that God may be glorified by you doing good. Colossians 1:10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. In Hebrews 13:21. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Do good. Stand up for what you believe. Always try to make things better for those that follow you, that come after you. Make it better for those who are going to be in the future. And those are our children. You see, you can make excuses for just about anything you do. See, we said this in order to help our feelings. You can't judge people by what they do privately, especially government officials. It's okay for them to do whatever they want as long as people have jobs and the economy is good. So when did that get to be more important than God's word? I don't think it did. I think it was we just allow things to happen. Say our future depends on what happens now. Your future depends on what happens now. You can't change the future except from the present. Some of us have already reached an age to where you don't have much time left to correct a lot of stuff. But the young ones do. You're going to be there. So you need to make the changes. If you don't want the future to be that bad, help change it. You know, we think about that. We say all of these things happen. How did they happen? We had to allow it. But then the thought comes up. God's word again. You reap what you sow. He tells us that. If we don't follow his word, and we don't do what he says, we're going to suffer the consequences. And I really believe that that's what is wrong with our country. We're suffering the consequences of things that have been allowed to go on. So our future and our children's future is today. What happens today that you can do something about it? The people who believe in God can make changes for a better world. You can't expect the unbelievers to make any change to help you. It's just not going to happen. Those who believe have to make that. And they try to eliminate the bad. That's how it works. So if we're going to change the future, we need to start today. That's my lesson. I appreciate your being quiet and listening. I hope that it was beneficial. If there's someone here that finds themselves in a position that they haven't made their life right with God, now's the time to do that, because we really don't know what the future has. We really don't know beyond right now. Tomorrow is out of the question. 5 years from now, really out of the question. We don't have any control. We don't know what's going to take place. So if you need to make your life right with God, if you have any reason, come while we stand and sing.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Lord's table is just prepared for those who were unable to participate in the morning service. If you would let us know by show of your hands if you're passing along here, we'll do so. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we bow before you at this time, assembled around the Lord's table and the emblems of His sacrifice before us. We realize, Father, that without Jesus' sacrifice, there would be no forgiveness of our sins. We would be hopelessly lost. At this time, Father, as we partake of the bread which represents His body that hang upon that cross, we ask, Father, that you be with those that partake. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Father in heaven, we continue our thanks to thee for this fruit of the vine represents Christ's blood shed on the cross. Pray that each one will take of it, do so in a way and pleasing manner in our sight. Let's just pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Are there those that would like to make a contribution at this time? Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we realize that all that we have, everything that we enjoy in this life is from your hand. We thank you so very much for your consideration, for your compassion, and your generosity. We ask, Father, that you bless those that are giving back a portion of what you have given them at this time. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Before we let in the closing prayer, we'll sing number 24. Number 24. If you're willing and able, please stand and remain standing for the closing prayer. For the beauty of the earth.
And, for the beauty of the earth. For the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies, Lord of all, to Thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the joy of human love, brother, sister, parent, child, friends on earth and friends above, for all gentle thoughts and mild, Lord of all, to Thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For Thy church that evermore lifteth holy hands above, offering up on every shore her pure sacrifice of love. Lord of all, to Thee we raise this our hymn of grace.